Hi everyone, I hope that you're all safe and well. My name is Alistair Tidball and I'm going to read Proverbs 2 to us. I'll then pray for God's help and then hopefully explain it. So we're going to read Proverbs 2. This is from the NIV. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn in your ear to wisdom and apply in your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. And then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignores the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her path to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the path of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the path of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Proverbs chapter 2. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together virtually like this. And just pray, Father, that you help us as we come to your word, that you will help us to understand it, that you'll help me to explain it. You'll help us to take it seriously, to be challenged by it and to be changed by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you are a fan of country music, you may have come across one of Tim McGraw's songs called Can't Tell Me Nothing. The song refers partly to advice given by a father. And don't worry, I won't sing it. But the chorus goes, talk is cheap and free advice is worth the price you pay. I had to find out for myself the hard way. Can't tell me nothing. Maybe you agree with the sentiments. Much of the free parental advice I've been given over the years I've disregarded and had to find things out the hard way. But what if a parental figure advised you to seek wisdom, that it would come at considerable personal and time cost, but it would literally save and change your life? Would you take it seriously? Or like the singer, talk is cheap, can't tell me nothing. My hope is that Proverbs 2 today will convince you otherwise. And whether you've been following the series or perhaps just dipping your toe in today, the grand theme of Proverbs is that these words are for gaining wisdom, understanding, knowledge, for doing what is right, culminating in that big statement in chapter 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which means the start and the foundational principle. After all, Proverbs, for the most part, is Solomon the king teaching his son to ground his life on what is important, namely pursuing wisdom and rejecting folly. This is not pursuing wisdom in the philosophical sense. No, we're talking about biblical wisdom, a sort of skill for living according to God's rules and God's way of life. It is very practical. But here's the catch. It is unique to those in relationship with God. And it is hugely important. Proverbs is filled with references to paths. Paths of wisdom leading to life and paths of folly leading to death. And maybe a silly question, but which one sounds best to you? You see, we need wisdom or skill for living to stay on the right path, to make the right choices in life with God at the center. Fortunately, we have Proverbs to help us along the way. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2. And then see how this side of the cross, Jesus fulfills the truths of Proverbs 2 and offers us so much more. So first, verses 1 to 4. A search for wisdom requires diligence. The structure of the passage in Proverbs 2 is broadly, put the effort into verses 1 to 4, and you reap the benefits of verses 5 to 22. I wonder if you ever saw the Are You Beachbody Ready adverts before they were banned? The ad featured a large picture of an objectively attractive lady in a bright yellow bikini with the words, Are you Beachbody Ready? Next to her, a smaller picture of the weight loss collection and plenty of small print saying how much that costs. Great advertising. Sell the dream and then slip the cost in. Proverbs 2, however, very much puts the cost up front, because the cost is significant. And Solomon sets out four ways, not four different ways, you need to do all four, to go about a diligent search for wisdom. First, he says, accept my words and store my commands within you. Like the teacher at school who has a track record for getting the best exam marks for their students, the starting point is to have respect and humility that you readily receive their advice without arguing. You write it down, you revise it, you memorize it, because it brings success. So accept and store. Second, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. One writer says to understand is to make good choices between alternative possibilities. So pay careful attention, even to the summer preachers. And then hearts, the very core and direction of our being, should be ready to engage and apply what's been heard. So listen and apply. Third, he says, call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Insight and understanding should be valued so highly that there's an almost desperation to plead for them, pleading, I think, primarily to God. So call out and cry aloud. And fourth, look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Be it here being wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, you can see the value of wisdom. She is described as more profitable than silver, more precious than rubies, beyond compare. Now, I love Indiana Jones movies, Indy, supposedly an archaeologist, but really, all-round action hero. He regularly puts his life in danger, his shirt ripped, sweaty and bloody, dodging boulders, traps and bullets in his search for priceless treasure. Here, the point is to do the same, but in searching for wisdom, and obviously in a less dramatic way. But it is time-consuming, requiring careful study, hard work, but yields sparkling rewards. So look and search. And I hope you get the picture. A search for wisdom, for God's wisdom, requires serious diligence. But this hard work unlocks verses 5 to 22, the benefits of that search. And these are life-changing and life-enhancing. So firstly, and most importantly, what's the first benefit? Well, searching for wisdom leads to God himself. Take a look with me at verses 5 and 6. The logic is that what we search for, God gives us. The search and the gift are inseparable. Those who truly search for wisdom and knowledge will find it. God gives it so that we can know and fear him. And I know that's a strange phrase. No, you're not supposed to be sitting there quaking in fear. It basically means absolute respect and awe of an almighty God. But there's also intimacy here. The use of the word Lord is actually God's personal name, Yahweh, the name given to the people he saves and forgives time and time and time again. Wisdom seekers in Proverbs get a relationship with God. And the point, I think, of the diligent search is first and foremost to be in a right relationship with God. Proverbs suggests that this is the wisest thing a person can do, but also because true wisdom or skillful living flows from that relationship. He is the source of it all. But there are other benefits here too. The rest of the passage reads a bit like taking a journey along a path and seeing the benefits of that diligent search for wisdom along the way. Take verses 7 and 8, for example. The same God who gives wisdom also guards those who are in relationship with him. God is right there hemming you in on the path, the ultimate bodyguard, better than Kevin Costner in The Bodyguard, bigger than Dwayne Johnson. bad things may happen, but victory is still assured. Or take verses 9 to 11. God's wisdom changes from the inside out, so that we'll naturally want to keep applying his wisdom and growing in our knowledge of him, and thus enhancing our skill for living. Because in verses 12 to 16, the rubber really hits the road. God-centered wisdom and living hits practical reality. Back on our paths, we encounter two detours. These two shady characters, the wicked man and the adulterous wife. And these detours look good, don't they? Whether it's easy money or no string sex, why would anyone need wisdom to save us from these? Except that Proverbs says that we really do need saving, and it's skillful living that will help us. See, armed with understanding, discernment, and the truth of God's word, like x-ray specs, we see these characters, these forks in the road, for what they truly are and the consequences they lead to. Take the wicked man, for example. There's an anonymous saying that one cannot think crooked and walk straight. The outward pattern of their behavior flows from their devious ways. Their delight is in doing wrong. Crookedness leads to more crookedness, and then further deviations from the straight path. Perhaps you've experienced this. Perhaps your ways are looking a little bit crooked at the moment. But armed with the truth of God's word, you can discern from their words the very first point of attack, that they're perverse. You can see the very crookedness of their ways and avoid them. And it's the same with the adulterous woman, verses 16 to 19. Perhaps this is an area where you struggled or currently struggling, whether physically or in your imaginations. I should also say that this isn't singling out women. It obviously takes two to tango. But here again, the assault starts with words. Take verse 16. And to those who succumb, it can be a very slippery and unhappy slope. Boris Becker, the Wimbledon ace, describes in his autobiography, Hold On, Stay a While, how he had sex with the waitress Angela Ermakova only hours after his then wife, who was pregnant, had gone into hospital with contractions. He describes how after 5 minutes of small talk, he followed Angela into a broom cupboard and got down to business. A daughter with Angela followed soon after, and so too the breakup of his marriage. See, adultery often doesn't start in the bedroom, it starts with words. But Proverbs gives us a reality check about the consequences here. We see the wicked man walks in darkness, rejoicing in evil. The road to the adulterous woman leads down to death, and none return. But in both cases, applying God's wisdom helps to identify and avoid these crooked paths, and to stay on the true path. And verses 20 to 22 conclude the benefits of seeking wisdom. There's an interesting contrast here between the upright and the blameless, who get to stay in the land, and the wicked and unfaithful who are cast out. What are these verses pointing to? Well, the direct reference to the land is, I think, Israel being the Old Testament land allotted to God's people. But it also points to a present and future truth. In the present, living in a wise way in God's world may lead to success. Hard work may lead to prosperity. Investing time in others may create solid relationships. Things obviously get messed up, but blessings are normally associated with living in God's world, in God's way. And the reverse is also true, as we see in verses 21 to 22 and in 12 to 19. But whatever the experience now, there is a future reality being pointed to here, as we'll come on to shortly. So how does this chapter of Proverbs fit in with the gospel? Well, I want to focus on three ways that Jesus makes the truth of Proverbs even better. First, Paul in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, states that his purpose is for people to know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Jesus is now God's wisdom or skill for living personified. And we see that in the gospel. Jesus is the ultimate wise teacher, teaching even Nicodemus, perhaps the wisest teacher of the day. He shows us how to live wisely with God at the center and how to get more wisdom, namely by praying for it with confidence. James chapter 1 verse 5 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Lastly, those who trust in Jesus are given the Holy Spirit to guide their paths. One writer commenting on the difference between human and God's wisdom says this. He says, the Wizard of Oz says, look inside you and find self. God says, look inside you and find the Holy Spirit. The first will get you to Kansas. The latter will get you to heaven. So take your pick. Second, if you've wandered off the path of wisdom and perhaps found yourself caught in a crooked or adulterous pattern of behaviour, whether physically or in thought, then don't despair. God's grace is big enough to rescue you from even the path leading to death. Jesus offers you today restoration, forgiveness, and hope. A diversion back onto the path of life open to absolutely everyone, no matter what you've done. One well-known Christian writer says, the gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Because try as we might, we all fail to act wisely. We've all failed in these areas in some way. But the great news of the gospel is that Jesus fulfills in our place the perfection of Proverbs 2 that God requires. No matter how many times we blindly or even deliberately wander from the path of life, if we confess our sins, then Christ is there, ready to forgive us, dust us off, and set us going again. Philip Yancey, a Christian writer, says, before God, we all stand on level ground. Murderers, temper throwers, adulterers and lusters, thieves and coveters. We are all desperate. And that is, in fact, the only state appropriate to a human being who wants to know God. Having fallen from the absolute ideal, we have nowhere to land but in the safety net of absolute grace. Third, in fulfilling Proverbs 2, Jesus gives us life to the full, here and now, and the other side of death. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that doesn't mean that our lives now will be full of wealth, health, and happiness. Rather, that despite the losses and fears of life, Christian lives will be marked with joy, calm, a confident assurance that God absolutely loves us and protects us in this life. And as a follower of Jesus, life here is nothing compared to the life awaiting us in heaven. Eternal life, joy, peace, perfection, Jesus' presence. The late great Billy Graham said that even when we allow our imaginations to run wild on the joys of heaven, we find that our minds are incapable of conceiving what it will be like. But for those not trusting in Jesus, the next life has no such hope. Jesus also speaks of the eternal exile pointed to in Proverbs 2 to describe the misery of those who are thrust into it at the moment of their deaths. But Jesus mercifully offers us a way off that path. We simply don't need to go there. So let's think about what this ought means for us today. And in some ways, the application is the same whether you're a Christian or looking into the faith. I asked at the start, what if some sort of parental figure told you to seek wisdom, to throw everything you've got into finding it, because it will save your life? You see, Proverbs 2 is your Heavenly Father speaking through Solomon, telling us that we have two urgent needs. First, to be in a right relationship with him, to know and trust in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who loves and guards us, who gives us wisdom, who forgives the unforgivable, who has laid down his life for us so that we can be with him in heaven forever. But secondly, we need skill for living to successfully navigate the pitfalls in this life, navigating difficult workplaces, conversations, or unwise situations. Skill for living to stay on the path of life, to live lives in the fullness of relationship with God. And so this all comes back to the challenge in verses 1 to 4. Diligently seeking God's wisdom is not a one-off activity. We need to work at growing our wisdom and relationship with God. This process starts but never ends during our human lives. And so I wonder how you're going, especially during lockdown when things are really tough, in terms of seeking wisdom. For instance, how are you doing with studying the Bible at the moment? Are you fully accepting God's word? Is there rebellion in certain places? How do you store up God's word ready for those tricky patches in life? Do you listen to those preaching, ready to reflect on and apply what you've learned? And how about your prayer life? Are you having close fellowship with God in prayer, confidently crying out for wisdom in daily struggles, or only when you need him? Would someone looking at your life today see you as the Indiana Jones figure chasing after worldly treasure? Or is Christ the real treasure that you seek? Seeking and growing in wisdom and our relationship with Jesus is anything but a passive pursuit, and we need to get our hands dirty. And if you're not a Christian listening in today, can I please urge you to start pursuing him today, to see him as the best treasure in this life, one that you're prepared to diligently chase after. Events this year show that life is too short to delay, and God promises that if we truly seek him, to throw everything at trying to find him, then we will find him. I want to leave you with this story. Gareth Millward, a metal detectorist, had been searching in the same field in Derbyshire for 4 years, literally combing over the same area with his detector. He started with a few hours, and before long was spending around 10 hours a week on average, even upgrading his detector and heading out come rain or shine. Until one day, he struck gold. Literally, he found a gold coin dating back to the time of King Henry VII, worth about £4,000. You'd think that in light of a bit of success, he'd wind things down a bit. But in fact, he said quite the opposite. He said, the more I find, the more I want. And that he intends to keep going back, to keep putting in the hours, and keep ploughing the same secret plot in the hope for more treasure. Gareth found his treasure, and we have ours. So let's keep active in exploring it. Let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for Proverbs 2. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us to be active in seeking wisdom. We pray that in our search, that you will answer our cries, our desperation for that wisdom, that you will give it to us, that you'll help us stay on the path of life as we look forward to eternity with Jesus in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.